Hi, this is Kyle Bauer with Plain Talk with the girl that, well, she says she's looking for a new job, Jamie Bloom.
Well, I have an idea for a new job.
Oh.
Inspecting mirrors. It's a job I could easily see myself doing.
See
get
yourself
it?
Doing
get it?
Yeah.
I got some new dad jokes for you.
You know. We
poor dads, by the way, they get blamed for all the bad jokes. You
exactly.
notice that? They're all dad jokes now.
Yeah, they're exactly right. We were talking in a group not long ago that we had decided that women look in a mirror more than 10 times as much in a week as men do.
I absolutely believe it.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that men shouldn't look more often,
mm-hmm.
you know, but it's part of a woman's day.
It is, yeah.
To look in the mirror.
We just want to make sure we still look presentable.
And
men just don't care if they still look presentable.
I guess not. I mean, honestly, we have a nice big mirror in the bathroom, and men do their share of going to the bathroom. And I'll bet you 50 cents that the men don't even look
don't
in
even
the
glance.
Mirror when they're washing their hands. They could look.
Well, and you know, women, a lot of women wear makeup. I know not all of them do, but a lot of women wear makeup. And so, you know, with me, it's always, okay, how far down my eyes is my mascara running? You know, because I'm sweaty, I'm hot. It's like, I gotta, I don't know, just kind of touch up. And like I said, make sure you still look presentable.
A mirror inspector.
There I was you in go. A restroom over our trip over the weekend. And I guess it was kind of a combo men and women restroom in a convenience store gas station. And it had no mirror on the wall. And it was
really?
Kind of like I looked around. It was like, there's no mirror? I can't, you know, I couldn't do that then.
And then I think a guy would not even notice.
Would not even notice.
It didn't have
funny story, though. One of our staff members that works here told me a funny story from a couple weeks ago when she was in a restroom somewhere in a surrounding town. And she said she knows she looked when she went in the restroom, make sure it was a women's restroom. And she got in there and there were two stalls. And she finished up and she was standing at the sink washing her hands. And she had noticed someone else come in. And all of a sudden, there's this man. And she says, very much a man standing next to her washing his hands. And she says, it was just so funny, the moment of eye contact when they looked at each other and it was like, which one of us
is wrong?
Is in the wrong restroom.
Which one of them was?
And she says, they never said anything at all to each other. It was just, she said, but it was just that funny, like, oh, you know, look at each other. And well, she went out and she looked and she was in the women's restroom.
Okay, so
he must have made a mistake.
Room.
And I said, are you sure it wasn't one of those? Because you're seeing more of that all the time.
Yeah.
Where it's like, either way, it's like we
but
have two restrooms.
But they're usually a one stall, aren't they?
Or a lot of times, yeah, one room and you lock
room.
The door.
Right.
I don't always like those sometimes. I worry, did I get the thing locked?
I know.
And then, you know, the toilet's clear on the other side of the room. And so, like, there's no reaching up and
the toilet in
the
Kansas City Airport is unisex.
Yeah.
And you have your own little stall.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as in there was 25 of them.
Right. Yeah.
Along a wall. And
yeah.
You're private when you're in that stall. But when you come out to wash your hands or look in the mirror, yeah, it's unisex then. And it doesn't seem uncomfortable.
Right. Yeah. No, it really doesn't. Seeing each other at the sink, maybe, but
yeah.
Otherwise. It's,
well, and when you're expecting it, I don't think it freaks you out as much.
Well, and then the men are, like you said, they're quick at the sink. It's like a quick wash and they're out. The women are the ones standing looking in the mirror, trying to freshen up after their flight.
Trying to get that job as a mirror inspector.
Exactly, yeah.
So I see a picture today in the news of the space junk that we talked about a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
That came into hit a person's house.
Uh-huh.
They were awake and just bam. Well, I'd say the size of a man's fist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it came from the International Space Station. They had jettisoned 5,000 pounds of junk to burn up in the atmosphere as it came in. It really took quite a while to come in. But what I thought was odd was after, you know, the entire world, they jettisoned this and it hits a house in Florida.
Right.
How weird
yeah,
is that?
Yeah, it doesn't fall in the ocean.
Right.
It doesn't fall, yeah.
It's India, it doesn't.
Right, yeah, a house in Florida. When you look at that picture, it almost looks like he's holding just a roll of summer sausage or something, doesn't it?
Well,
it's kind of what it looks like.
Yeah. But. Well, I got to thinking about it. It was part of a pallet sending new batteries to the space station. I thought, well, they're not going to send heavy pieces of anything because of the weight. So it was probably some kind of metal that was, well, not something you'd buy at the local hardware store anyway.
Right.
Yeah. So they expected it to fully burn up, but they were wrong.
Speaking of aviation, in a groundbreaking move towards sustainable aviation, a biofuel company named Firefly has unveiled plans to construct the world's first commercial-scale factory that will convert human waste into eco-friendly jet fuel.
Okay.
It's based in the UK, and the project aims to supply airline Wizz Air... I know, right?
Yeah.
Coincidental. Mm-hmm. W-I-Z-Z. Wizz Air, with up to 525,000 tons of sustainable aviation fuel over the next 15 years made out of feces.
Trying to do that in my chemistry class in my mind, and it's just not going there. I mean, if human feces, if that works, well, then obviously animal feces would too. And quite honestly, we collect animal feces specifically in the chicken and swine industry more efficiently than we do
than we would human
waste.
Right. But I have a related story here, as long as we're on the subject. Have you ever thought about climbing Mount Everest?
Nope.
Me neither.
But I saw a picture the other day. Oh my gosh. It's like a shopping mall. There's so many people waiting in line to go up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, as if climbing Mount Everest wasn't challenging enough, climbers now have a new task at hand. They have to pack out their own waste.
Mm-hmm.
In an effort to reduce pollution on the world's highest peak, Nepal has implemented a new rule requiring climbers to bring their waste back down with them. While the thought of carrying around bags of your own waste may be off-putting, climbers will be provided with specially designed bags that can be used up to 6 times each. These bags contain chemicals that solidify the waste and eliminate any foul odors. It says here an estimated 1,200 people are set to climb Mount Everest this season.
Wow.
1,200.
Well,
this new rule is expected to make an impact on reducing pollution in the area.
You know, I guess I would have assumed they had to have done that a long time ago. I think it's cold enough, though, that it would freeze fairly quickly.
Right.
I know, like, when I go skiing, if I don't have something fairly deep in my clothing, it freezes, like a bottle of water.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or my phone quits working or that sort of thing. Like, if I just have a bottle of water inside my side layer, it freezes.
It freezes, yeah. Well, the Nepal Mountaineering Association has reported that each person typically spends about 2 weeks at the higher camps as they make their way to the summit of the 29,000-foot peak.
So the only time we've had to do that was when we were in the Grand Canyon, and you had absolutely nothing left behind. And so there was 25 of us on these two rafts, and we all had a communal big bucket. That had a sealable lid, and whenever we'd make camp, the first thing off was the big bucket. And at halfway through, at about 4 days, we got a new bucket. But we're talking about 25 people using this big
one bucket.
I would say it's about a 10-gallon bucket with a, I don't know if it, I don't think it had any chemicals in it, with a toilet seat on the top.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And then when we got ready to leave, the guides would take off the toilet seat and put a sealed lid on it. And at 4 days, we got a new bucket. And you've never heard 25 people cheer so loud in your life. And if in your mind you're thinking this is really gross, it's worse than that.
Yeah. Well, and I mean,
because the Grand Canyon, in the summer, it's 125 degrees.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I mean, it's not like this stuff is freezing. So it was the most.
You really had to rough it out there. Let me tell you.
I will tell you, it didn't freak me out. But there was a lot of people who were not outdoorsmen on this deal, and I was amazed they bucked it up and, you know, and made it happen.